Chapter 8. Chaz woke up to the sensation of being inside a rock tumbler, a dull pain in his head, the sounds of wheels turning and gravel crunching. Hooves? He opened his eyes. Wherever he was moving very quickly. A sheer rocky wall was zipping past a dark window frame. He was in some sort of wagon.
"Rise and shine, Chaz," said Catherine.
She smiled down at him from where she sat. He must be on the floor. He turned around to look at the window on the other side of the wagon. The view was as wide and open as the opposite side's view was solid and unyielding. It was as if they were flying. A fat yellow moon sat bloated in the night sky, shining down on the city below. They must be several hundred feet up, traveling at crazy speeds up a path on a cliff face. He wrapped his arms around Catherine's legs. She ran her fingers calmly through his hair.
"It's perfectly safe," said an unfamiliar voice.
Chaz didn't know how he could have missed the guy with his purple suit and dazzling eyes.
"You have nothing to fear. Enjoy the view."
"Who are you?"
said Chaz.
"Catherine, who is this guy? Where are we going? Where are the guys?"
"Don't worry," said Catherine. "He's nice."
"But who the fuck is he?"
"Language," said the purple-suited man. "I'll have none of that in my coach or in my house, thank you."
"Catherine?"
"He's,
My name," said the man, "is Millard von Pleck, the 14th of my name, and Lord of Castle Pleck."
"Jesus, Catherine," said Chaz. "You got in this guy's wagon without even learning his name? Didn't you see any PSAs when you were a kid?"
"He's nice," said Catherine. "Look at his eyes."
She tilted her head and stared at the man like a grade schooler with a teacher crush.
"Are you fucking high?"
said Chaz, and immediately felt a smack on the top of his head. He looked up at the man called Millard von Pleck.
"Ow, man! What the fuck?"
Millard smacked him on the head again with a jockey whip.
"Language!"
"Knock it off, man!"
Millard rested the whip on his lap.
"You mind your tongue in my presence, and you should always mind your tongue in the presence of a lady."
"Catherine,"
Chaz pleaded,
"why are we with this guy? He could be a murderer or a rapist."
Millard crossed one knee over the other and looked bitterly out of the window.
"You can set aside your fear of being raped."
"I distinctly remember mentioning two fears."
Millard turned his gaze from the window and smiled down at Chaz.
"You just mind your manners, son, and you'll be quite safe, I assure you."
Chaz hugged Catherine's legs more tightly.
"It's cold."
Millard poked his head out of the window and quickly back in again.
"We're nearly there."
A few minutes later, the swift pounding of hooves slowed to a canter, then a trot, then finally a walk before stopping altogether. Millard opened the coach door and stepped out. He assisted Catherine out next. Chaz was left to get out unassisted. Charcoal gray stone walls towered above him, maybe 30 or 40 feet high. They were rough and crumbly, as if they hadn't been maintained in a few centuries.
"I hope you'll pardon the rough exterior," said Millard. "I find it helps me keep away solicitors."
Looking at the walls brought on a dizzy spell. Chaz looked away, only for his gaze to meet that of the horse who had pulled him up all this way.
"Jesus, Mary, and Joseph! What the fuck is that?"
Smack.
"Ow!"
Chaz turned around, rubbing the top of his head. He could have sworn Millard had been more than 20 feet away from him just a second ago. But there he was, standing right in front of him, with the jockey whip in his hand.
"I wish you'd quit doing that."
"You'll learn sooner or later."
"What did you do to that horse, man?" said Chaz. "Is it even alive?"
"Does it look alive?"
It was a difficult question. It displayed a lot of the qualities one associates with life. It stood upright, it moved around, and made hoarse noises. But it also had some characteristics that Chaz had always earmarked for signs of being dead. Its skin was rotting off, sticking so tightly to the bones that you could count them. A cockroach crawled out of its right nostril, up its face, and into its ear, and the horse seemed completely unfazed by it. Chaz staggered, but Millard caught him by the arm and held him up.
"Stable,"
said Millard. Chaz found his footing and stood up straight.
"It's okay, I'm cool, man."
The horse trotted away.
Where's it going?
Millard gave him a contemptuous laugh.
The stable.
He let go of Chaz's arm and offered his own arm to Catherine.
Let's get you inside. You must be freezing to death out here.
She wrapped his arm around her waist and moved in close to him. She looked up into his eyes.
I don't mind the cold.
Millard stared down at her.
Of course you don't, dear.
I can't believe this shit.
Millard's glare hit Chaz as sharply as the jockey whip had.
Stuff I'm hearing.
Millard gave Chaz a satisfied nod and walked up to a set of huge wooden double doors that appeared to be more sturdy than the stone walls they allowed entrance to. A pair of guards stepped out from the shadows of pillars to open the doors. They appeared to be at least as big around as Cooper, but with a human build rather than that of a half-orc. It was impossible to tell for sure, as they were covered from head to toe in armor. Their helmets had no visors, but their faces were covered in what Chaz might have called a ski mask if he thought that folks around here were familiar with the concepts of skiing or bank robbing. The guards didn't speak. There was only the slightest clink of metal on metal as each guard placed a mailed hand on an iron ring bolted to either door.
Open, said Millard.
A soft humming sound came from within the castle as a red light shone through the crack between the doors like the scanner in a supermarket checkout. It ran from the top of the doorway down to the floor, after which the guards pulled the heavy doors open. They didn't squeak or whine on the hinges. It was total silence.
Come along, Bard, said Millard. I'd like you to amuse us.
He led Catherine through the open double doors. Chaz took one last look down at the city below. Who knew what terrors he would run into on this mountain alone, on foot, in the dark? He would probably die of exposure before he had the chance to be eaten by leprechauns or whatever the hell was waiting for him out there. He gauged his chances of survival after entering the castle as only marginally more likely, but at least he might be fed before he was killed. He hurried after Millard and Catherine.